My NBA. Today's Tuesday, and it is Zion. Am I correct? It's Zion. Zion Elo. And things are slowly coming back to normal. Normal means impossibly busy. For me, yeshiva started, the summer program is over. I'll be here, Mitzvah Hashem, unless there's other factors, on Sundays, Bli Neder, in the foreseeable future, and so forth. So, we're back to Sichas. Yesterday, huh? We started, that's it, I'm back to normal. Yeah. So this is a Sicha. This is a Sicha from the Rebbe, which we're starting with. You'll see, this is just a page, and then after we're going to be doing some Elul stuff, and we're going to move slowly from Tavshin Yud Zayin into Tavshin Yud Ches, from one year into another year. So this is actually a Nicham Aveilim Sicha that the Rebbe said in 1957 when he was Menachem Avol de Gordon's. It was a chosid by the name of Rebbe Yochanan Gordon. The Friedrich Rebbe called Rebbe Yochanan Gordon a good friend. A good friend. You know, when the Rebbe came to America, I think it's helpful, when the Rebbe came to America, so on the date that the Rebbe was told, that the Friedrich Rebbe told that the Rebbe is coming or that the Rebbe arrived, the previous Rebbe said, Mazal Madir Zayin, the gute Freund, you should tell his good friends. So they asked the Friedrich Rebbe, who are the gute Freund? So he said, Yechanan and Bettel, I think. Bettel would be Bettel Chaskin, but I think I'm mixing up the story in every imaginable way. It may have happened at a different occasion, it may have a different person, but Yechanan Gordon was one of those people the Friedrich Rebbe used to call a gute Freund. He lost his wife in 1957. You should know that there's a story that in Tavshin Yud in 1950 she was very sick, and so to speak, hope was given up on her, and she the Rebbe saw her husband, the Yechanan. Her name was Zishen, with a she was a woman, but she had a name, Zayin Yud Shinav. You can see in the footnote. The Rebbe saw her husband, Yechanan, very sebrach. So the Rebbe said to Yechanan, why do you look so bad? He says, what do you mean? We used to ask the Rebbe everything, meaning the Friedrich Rebbe. Now the Friedrich Rebbe passed away. There's no one to ask. So the Rebbe said, you can go to the oil. So Yechanan said, I can't go to the oil. It doesn't work for me. So the end was that the Rebbe told him he'll go for him to the Yahil, and he gave him some kind of a bracha, and she totally recovered from that illness and lived seven more years. This is 1957, when she passed away. So when she passed away, the Rebbe came to Menachem Avol, and we're going to read it inside. You'll see soon why I'm choosing to read this. Rabbi Yechanan Gordon Sheyichya Amar, Yechanan Gordon said, Shera b'sifrei shal Rav Tzadik Mimunkach, he saw in the Munkach Sefer Shahaya Makbid that he was particular Shalayelech HaOvel, that the Oval shouldn't go around Achar Shivas Yemei HaAvelus, after the week of Shiva, Bebeged Shenira Beyakli, and the garment which was torn. When a person passes away, relatives have to tear kids, they rip their clothing. And there's a difference between children ripping clothing for parents, and in this case, it's a husband for a wife. The most severe avelus, of course, is when children rip their clothing for parents. And I'm not a Bokin Hilchos Avel, I don't know the dinim at all. But there's differences in what you're allowed to do. Can you take a beged that you tore kriya in, sew it up, and use it? And of course, there's different ways of sewing it. One way of sewing it is that you sew it that there's clearly a tear. And in this itself, how you sew it in a way that the tear is evident, there's also several different ways. And then, of course, you can take it to a weaver and make it look like it was never torn in the first place. So, Rabbi Yechanan told the Rebbe that he saw in a sefer that the clothing that you tore, you shouldn't use anymore. So the Rebbe answers, I'm reading now the second paragraph, the Rebbe says, Yeshne psak din betera, there's a halacha, shahalacha kidivir amekel ba'ovo. That whenever it comes to ilchas ovo, we're mekel, ubehetem lakach, neigim lahokel, b'yin avelos, and accordingly we're mekel in avelos, which means the Rebbe says, if you have no other garment to wear, you can wear it. You don't have to be machma de munkacha. Chacha filu, we know that the Rebbe was so into the munkacha, the Rebbe says, not when it comes to Hilchas Avol, chumre, you don't have to work so. Va'at kedekach, to such an extent, shigam b'negel la'anachas tefillin, even when it comes to putting on tefillin, she'izah b'shulchan aruch, it says explicitly in the Shulchan Aruch, Oval b'yem rishon asur laniach tefillin. That an oval on the first day is not allowed to put on tefillin. In other words, even after the levaya, not just before the levaya, but even after the levaya. Minhageinu, our custom is shemaniachem tefillin gam b'yem rishon, put tefillin on the first day. And the Rebbe writes in the parenthesis, b'lei bracha. You do it without a bracha. So the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to put on tefillin, and we put on tefillin anyway. So the Rebbe says, "Kishipigarti et lahatmor misatma l'nicham avil." The Rebbe says, "I visited the Satmar Rebbe when he sat shiva, Amarti, and I told him shemenagein l'niach tefillin gam biyabish." And I told him that our custom is that the first day you put on tefillin, v'tamal zeh. He was very surprised. Even shemefurish b'shulchan aruch lahepech, it says b'shulchan aruch faket that you're not allowed to put on tefillin on the first day. So the Rebbe says, "Ulahoy." To add further, shegam b'mave yankiv. Mava Yabik Muva, brought Mava Yankiv, which is a Yabik, which is a very important sefer on Avelis. Sheyesh, there are people, she'enim enoyim atzon b'tfilm, there are people who don't stop themselves from putting on film, leim b'yem alav shal Avelis, not the first day of Avelis, v'chein b'tisha b'av, they put on film tisha b'av in the morning. Now we don't put on film tisha b'av in the morning, we put on the afternoon, the Rabbeim is to put on in the morning. The bottom line is the Rebbe says there are those who say you're not allowed to put on film, there are those who say you're allowed. And since by Hilchas Avelis, we're mako, we put on the tefillin. Hanhogizu, this custom, lahako binyan Avelis, to be light about Avelis, ra'itzi, eitzel kvei gedushas merbacham yad morasso by the fi yedike Rebbe. That bishnasa Avelis alastalkas ime rabbanu satzit konos, the year of Avelis, when the fi yedike Rebbe lost his mother. Now she passed away in America in 1942. This is the Rebbe's Shtem Nesara. And she's buried in the Mount of Yerush. Actually, Rebbe bought the Tchelker when she passed. She passed away on Shabbos. For Levi, was either Monday or Tuesday. The Rebbe put the down payment down on that Tchelker for her. And there's a number of different reasons why it was done. Because Chabad, Agudas Chabad, already had a cemetery on Staten Island. There's an old Lubavitcher cemetery in Staten Island. Because the Friedrich Rebbe was out of New York. Friedrich Rebbe was in Chicago. And the Levaya was delayed, thinking that he participated in the Levaya. Lapel, the doctors did not let him go to the Levaya. He stayed in 770. So the Rebbe says, on that occasion, he was around. He was in New York, the Friedrich Rebbe, and he saw that the Friedrich Rebbe is Mekel and Hilchasov. Vachidashu, and what was unusual was, Sha'av Shahaya ben Yochat, he was an only son. Vechol on Yanam HaYimutalam Allah, the Levaya was the only one who could have done the Yanam Avelis for his mother. Mikomo Kaim Hoysa HaNagasin Lekula, I saw that he behaved in a lenient way as much as possible. The Yesh L'Hoyzeh says, Rabbi, I wish to add, Shekivon Sha'akula B'nyoni Avelis Yapi Psakdin HaTeira. The Torah says, when it comes to Ovel, you're supposed to be Mekel. Harei Zekula, it's a Kula, Leirak B'negei L'Nogas Avelim B'Elim Dilmata, it's not only a Kula, the way the Avelim behave down here, that this is also affecting that the person, lamaila, his judgment is lenient because of the hilchas avol. This is very powerful. Like it says in the Gemara that there are certain things that you're always machmir, like by mikveh, you're always machmir. By certain things, you're always mekel, like by avelos. You look for. So what's the pshat? When the Shulchan Aruch says when it comes to avelos, you're mekel, it's not important. Does anybody know? When the Shulchan Aruch says, when it comes to Avelis, it's supposed to be Mekel, because that's the din in Avelis. So the Rebbe adds right away, and understand the significance of this. When we down here are Mekel, Hilchas Avelis, the Eibishta Lamaila is Mekel in the din, is lenient in the din of the person for whom we're being a novel. So in other words, it benefits the Nifter that we should be Mekel and Hilchas Avelis. No, there's the famous question, famous issue that the Chazal say, Safek deraisa lechumra, safek derabana lekula. By something which is mederaisa yamachma. Something which is derabana and your maker. So the simple reason is, listen, what's the deraisa is more important. The derabana, you have to be extra frum. But you don't say that something is deraisa, you're frum, and something derabana and you're less frum. So this is the din. The din is that by derabana you should be maker. The din is by deraisa, in other words, it's not, it doesn't matter as much. It's the pshat that the Torah was given, that this is the halacha. And the same is true in Hilchas Avot. Anyway, this we read quickly. Now the next page is the page that I really wanted to read. And here we're going to go slow and I'm going to give you a hakdama. I have shared the following story with you a number of times, maybe even more than a number of times. I know a Yid who lives on Montgomery Street. His name is Rabbi Chaim Rubin. So as long as it's not Mishtak, Shalom Zayn. He is a descendant of very big Chassidish Rebbes, and he has a shul which is near the police station. If you live on Melbourne, you know his shul is called Beis David Gershon. And for a long time, for many years, I davened in his shul. And he told me many stories over the years. I used to come to him every Shabbos after davening. He would tell me a word and tell me a story and so on. So this Rabbi Chaim Rubin told me once, I'm waiting in the Kizah. He's lived in Crown Heights for probably 50 years. He's a Rav in the shul that's based on a Gershom. He's been here forever. And he had a relationship with the Rebbe. He actually learned in Lubavitch for some time. He had a relationship with the Rebbe. So I'll tell you two stories. The first story is a Maisa Pele Poshet, that his father was dying. His father was a Gai Benidin. His father was what the Rebbe would call Zeir Achsidi Shered. You know, they would call him a tzaddik. I don't know. He was an Amoliki, the Yid from a different generation. His father passed away, I think, in 1979. So his father was in the hospital, and all the vitals were dropping. You could see on the monitors that he was losing everything. And he walks out of the room. He goes down the hall, he puts a quarter in the payphone, and calls 770. It was right before Mincha. Label picks up the phone, Rabbi Groner. And he knew Rabbi Groner, they were yeshiva together there. He's a little younger than Rabbi Groner, probably. He says, Label, they're saying that it's minutes. Right before Mincha, can you go into the Rebbe? So Label says, wait. Now, he couldn't just walk into the Rebbe. So, wait. Rabbi Groner goes away from the phone, comes back a minute later and says, the Rebbe told me, he said, Zion, okay. It'll be fine. He says, what do you mean it's going to be fine? The doctors are saying it's finished. So Label says to him, you called me, yeah? The Rebbe says it's going to be fine. Hangs up the phone. He starts walking back to his father's room. As he's walking, he's screaming and shouting. He walks in, all the vitals went back up. The man was pushing, the neshama was leaving his guf. It was very clear. And then, woof, he lived 7 more months. He pushed, recovered. The Rebbe gave him a bracha, and he passed away. Anyway, the end of the story was that when he was sitting shiva for his father, the Rebbe sent Rav David Raskin as his shliach to be Menachem Mobile. David Raskin was actually his tenant. They lived in the same house on Montgomery Street. So the Rebbe asked Rav David Raskin to be Menachem Mobile by this Rabbi Rubin, and he sent a message. What was the message? Listen to this. The message was, every time a Yid does a mitzvah, he has to do it with simcha. Sitting shiva, avelus, is a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah of avelus? When a person is an oval, he's doing tshuva. Since when an oval is sitting shiva, he's doing tshuva, and tshuva is a mitzvah, he has to avelus besimcha. Which, of course, makes no sense. It makes no sense, but this is the Rebbe's, you know, the Rebbe's look at everything in such a uplifting way. So now let's read. Top of page 203. Be'inyan ha'avelus case of Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Oval, and I'm going to add that for those who learn Perek Echalei, we're about to finish Rambam. In the next few weeks, we're finishing Rambam. But this is the year that the two cycles converge, right? There's the 3-year cycle, there's the 1-year cycle. This year, the two cycles are converging, they're coming together. And we're going to all finish. Those of us who are learning Perek Echalei are ahead of those who learn 3 Perakim Layim. By the way, somebody objected to the fact that I always tell people learn Perek Echad Layim. I learn Perek Echad Layim because I want to learn it properly, and I feel that this is to learn 3 Perakim the way you're supposed to. You have to have hours, and I don't have that kind of time. So it's not Chas V'Shalom I'm being negligent in the Mereb Nisahiro, because I want to push it to learn. I want to learn it properly. Anyway, so we're learning. We're starting in 2-3 days. We're starting Hilchos Avot very soon. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avot the following words: Yefached, you should be afraid; V'Yidag, and you should worry. For your fast fish by myself, you should examine your deeds. The yachsa b'tshuva, and you should do tshuva. You should correct yourself. This is a cloud that Amma brings. He brings it also on Tainus, that anybody who says about events that happen in the world that it's mikid and nikidis, somebody who says something tragic, something negative happens to a person, he says, listen, it's just the way of the world. You know, everybody lives, everybody passes away. Nikidis, it's coincidental. So that Amman writes an Eizu Mederech Achzorius. It's in the category of Achzorius, being cruel. Even though there's a Seder to the Eivishter's world, when something happens to people you're involved with, it's a message for you. The famous teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov used to say that everything you see and hear is a lesson to you in your personal. Maybe it's Hashem, Allah has come up a kama if it's someone close to you, a friend, and in this case a family member. That when a person is sitting shiva for a deceased, he may have died at 112 and have been in perfect health until the end, and it's as Eidos. You know, we don't live forever. So l'chede. Nevertheless, since this happened, and nothing happens coincidentally, nothing happens to a bystander, in other words, the fact that you're a part of this event, so-and-so passed away, you're his relative, and you have to sit shiva, that's itself a raya, that for you it's an inyan atzur. So the Rebbe makes this point, that when a person is sitting shiva, the Rambam says that it's an inyan of tshuva. Yeshnam ke'eila she'einam yeidim divrei Rambam anal. The Rebbe says that those people don't know about this Rambam, that Avelus is an inyan of tshuva. They think Avelus is partially from sadness. In other words, to say it in different words, what's the benefit of being sad? What is the benefit of being, what good comes from being sad? There's nothing. Nothing good comes from being sad. You say, why are you sad? The Tanit says the Tanit permits it. You lose a relative, so the Chazal say, Ein aninus ela b'lev. The sadness on the first day, you can't help. It's out of your control. The sadness the whole week, maybe you could help, but the Tanit permits it. So does any person who thinks of sitting shiva as Torah permitted sadness, says the Rebbe in Yiddish, is es is evzei rachmanis. It's a rachmanis on him. To look at sitting shiva as Torah sanctioned misery is a rachmanis, because there's no such thing in Torah. It's true that Avelus is a time of sadness, but Torah says the sadness of Avelus is not just sadness which is impossible to stop or permitted, it's tshuva. And when you add the tshuva element to the avelos, it's a whole different experience of avelos. It's not just tamaze feeling miserable, it's a correction. In conjunction to the point I started with, the Rebbe said, that when it comes to avelos, we're mekel. And that when we're mekel in avelos, we're mekel on the nifter as well. Says the Rebbe, the conjunction to this, we're now speaking about tshuva. However, yesh lahadgesh, I wish to underscore, she'ein ze shayach linyan tshuva sheba avelus. Even though when it comes to avelus, we're mekel, but the mekel is in the sadness, but not in the tshuva. Says the Rebbe, she'ein benigay linyan tshuva. When it comes to tshuva, the avera b'tzichim lahachmet. When it comes to tshuva, you have to be extra frum. When it comes to the avelus, the sadness of avelus, and like I said before, seeing the whole of Avelus as a Torah sanctioned sadness is a Rachmanis. It's supposed to bring to tshuva. But the sadness aspect, we're Mako, and the Mako affects the Nifter. But the tshuva, this we have to be Machmir. And then the Rebbe continues. And again, this is all connected to this time of year, now Holy Chedesh Elul. And of course, you may know, you may not know, that in Sfarim, it's brought, in some places, in Chassidus it's brought, that Elul is the lower tshuva. Elul is tshuva tato, and Tishrei, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, is the higher tshuva, is tshuva yelah. So in some places it's brought that Elul is the lower tshuva, and that the Yom Narayim is the higher tshuva. So the Rebbe continues, Binyan tshuva yeshnem shtei dargis. We know that tshuva has two levels, tshuva tato, tshuva yelah, the lower tshuva, and the higher tshuva. Now what's the difference between the lower tshuva and the higher tshuva? So again, the Pashtus, the way the tradition was, the way Yidnam Zachifit Alamo. The lower tshuva is about the Avedis. The higher tshuva is about the Eivishter. In other words, how does a person do an Avedis? How does a person do an Avedis? Of course, if you make a mistake, it's not even a Shegig, it's an Eivishter. A person does an Avedis wantonly, he's on purpose. He does something he's not supposed to do. Why would a person do an Avedis? So the beginning of the Avedis is that he forgets about the Eivishter. The beginning, and you forget about the Eibishter. If you're thinking about the Eibishter, you can't sin. You can't do what's against the Eibishter's wishes while you're thinking about the Eibishter. So the first event that happens, which ultimately leads to the Aveda, is that you stop focusing on the Eibishter. No, you stop focusing on the Eibishter. So the doing of mitzvahs and the not doing of Avedas becomes much more technical, much more superficial, much more external. So if you stop thinking about the Eibishter, you stop thinking about the severity of an Aveda, and you commit an Aveda. Well, you stop thinking about the Ibish, you stop thinking about what it means to miss a mitzvah, and you miss an opportunity to do a mitzvah. So in both cases, there's two steps. First, you forget about Hashem. Forget about Hashem, forget about his mitzvah. So accordingly, there's two tshuvas. Tshuva tata, the lower tshuva, is to correct the aveda, is to correct the mitzvah. And then there's tshuva yelah, there's a higher tshuva. What's the higher tshuva? The higher tshuva is to reconnect to the Yevishter. Chassidus says, if you're connected to the Yevishter consciously, you simply cannot sin. So that's tshuva tata and tshuva yelah. In simple words, in concise words, tshuva tata is about sin, tshuva yelah is about God. Tshuva tata is about going away from sin, tshuva yelah is about going towards the Eibishter. Tshuva tata and tshuva yelah. The lower tshuva, the higher. This is classic stuff. We all know this. So what does it say in Tanya? In chapters, whatever it is, 9, 10, 11, that first you do the lower tshuva and then you do the higher tshuva. First you do the tshuva about the Aveda, you correct the Aveda, and then do the higher tshuva, becoming reattached to the Eibishter, which is done through davening, was done through learning, and so on. So the Rebbe says, let's start from the beginning of the paragraph again. The inyan ha-tshuva, when it comes to tshuva, yesh nim shtei dargis. There's two dargis in tshuva. Tshuva tata, the lower tshuva. Or tshuva law and the higher tshuva. So the Rebbe says, yesh eife lachmir. Just like I explained earlier, that even though in a hilchas of, in the sad part of avelus, we're maker, in the tshuva we're machmir, you do the tshuva with a full dedication, since in tshuva itself there's two levels, there's a lower tshuva and there's a higher tshuva, part of the chumre in doing tshuva should be that we should do the higher tshuva as well. Yesh eifei lahachmir, we should be strict, shaleile stop with the tshuva tata, not to be satisfied with the lower tshuva, el shtiya gam tshuva lo, we should also have the higher tshuva. So this is what the Rebbe said. So Rabbi Yechon and Gordon, so the Avo, Rabbi Gordon, this is the father of the Gordon, right? I guess at this point, this is the grandfather of the Gordon. Rabbi Yechon and Gordon, the Rebbe tells him he should be machmir to do the lower tshuva, and the higher tshuva, heyed, he says, shiktei love the tshuva law to come to the higher tshuva, yesh terech b'mahalach rav. It's a long distance. In other words, Chassidim used to say, the tshuva tata is everybody's madrega. Tshuva law is a very high madrega, and the Rebbe has changed a lot of these things because of the generations. The Rebbe has put tshuva law before tshuva tata, you skip tshuva tata. But in the Chabad tradition, and this is 60 years ago, people did the lower tshuva, they did the tshuva, they corrected their avedas, and the biggest chassidim am gehalten by tshuva law of reconnecting to the Eibishter. So he told the Rebbe, tshuva law is not so easy. In today's Lubavitch, everyone talks about tshuva law like it's a household word. But in those days, there were still old timers around. He was an old timer from the Fuse in Lubavitch. Tshuva tata was possible, tshuva law was impossible. Chazer kve gedushes admur shlita ve'omar. The Rebbe responded. And this is Hebrew, but the Yiddish is so much better, yeah? The way it would read in Yiddish is, I me ken springen in leifen, favozo me nor gain. In Hebrew, I'm reading it inside now. Kshiyesh nef sharos l'in shal di l'gomerut. If a person is in a position where he can jump and run, why would you simply walk? And in Yiddish it says, springen in leifen. The Rebbe says, you're right. Tshuva yelah is higher than tshuva tata. But tshuva yelah is more than tshuva tata. So why would you say, I can only do the lower tshuva? Admor hazaken mevayed, the Alter Rebbe explains. Shesh tshuva tata, tshuva yelah, there's a lower tshuva and there's a higher tshuva. The kivin shetzrichem livche b'neim, since we must choose between them. L'shema livche b'tshuva tata, why should you choose the lower tshuva? Kishyecheilum livche b'tshuva yelah, when you can choose the higher tshuva. Now here is a different word. Before the Rebbe said you should be machmir in tshuva, and what's that be machmir in tshuva? Then you shouldn't only do the lower tshuva, you should do also the higher tshuva. And then 2 minutes later, the Rebbe says something different. If you have two choices, you can do the lower tshuva or you can do the higher tshuva. And again, I'm repeating what I told you, that the tradition was always, this is how it's written in Tanya, first you do the lower tshuva, and only afterwards you do the higher tshuva. The Rebbe says you have two choices, you can do either this tshuva or this tshuva. Why do the lower tshuva, do the higher tshuva? Because why do tshuva when I'm focusing in my Aveda if I can do tshuva of returning to the Eibishter and being involved with the Eibishter? So at first the Rebbe said, don't just do one, do the second. Now the Rebbe is saying, if you can do either one or two, why not do the better one? And the better one is Tshuvilo. V'sayim kvei kedush al moshlita, and the Rebbe finishes. Yadua piskum gedeli Yisrael. It's known a statement of gedeli Yisrael. It's interesting that the Rebbe says gedeli Yisrael when it's actually from the Rebbe Marash. Akrechts when a yidin is tshuva. That the gedeli Yisrael says when a yid sighs, it's tshuva. People sigh for all kinds of reasons. What's a krecht? Oi. That's a krecht, yeah. People say oi for all kinds of reasons. I think we once understood it. And over that, people say oi because their stomach hurts. Or because they're in a bad mood. Or because they're used to krechting. Some people are just kvetches. Some people just say oi for no particular reason. So the Rebbe Marash said, krecht is true. Why? Because the krecht comes from a sense of lack. Even if the sense, I think we had a sikha not long ago, even if the sense of lack is a dova gashmi, the pnimius of that dova gashmi is that the Yevishter gives me what I am. So whatever kind of krechts it is, for whatever Indian, it's tshuva. The Rebbe concludes, ukvei kudushas mervecham yadmor, the friyidik Rebbe hayomesif, b'shem admor marash, added in the name of the Rebbe Marash, shezal tshuvi lost the higher tshuva. So the Rebbe Marash said, a krecht for a yidin is tshuva yilo, anytime a Jew sighs, it's the higher tshuva. And the Rebbe seems to be saying that it says in other svarim before chassidus that a krecht on yidin is tshuva, but in footnote 11 they're mitzayin to the Rebbe sichas. I did not look it up. I would like to look it up to find out who before chassidus made the statement that anytime a Jew sighs, it's an inyan of tshuva. Anyway, so the Rebbe found his way of weaving tshuva into the conversation. When a person is sitting shiva, it says in a Rambam, it's not just required sadness or permitted sadness. It's an inyan of tshuva. So the Rebbe says, in the Avelis, you make the tshuva you machne. What's the chumra that you do tshuva yilah? And tshuva yilah is also done mitayach simcha. And then the Rebbe finishes. B'klal mekubul eitzel b'nei Yisrael b'nei Yisrael b'nei Yisrael b'nei Yisrael b'nei Yisrael b'nei Yisrael. When somebody passes away, and listen to these words. She'ein ze'ela sha'nifte nimtze b'dyutal yeni Yisrael. Someone passes away, you don't say they're gone. You simply say they went up to a higher floor. Like a house and its attic. As is mer nit v'imetashpakech. It's only that there are floor above. Now, of course, we say this about the Rabbein. We say this about Tzadikim. And the Rebbe said this is about everybody. We believe life is forever. We all know that the body is not forever. After Chetei Tzadas, everybody dies. There's no such thing as a person lives forever. You ask for normal life and you ask for health. You don't have to be sick. You can be healthy. Why should a person be ill? But the idea that a person passes away, it's derech ha'elu. Everybody dies. People die. So the Rebbe says, but we don't believe in the guf, we believe in the neshama. And the neshama predates the body, and the neshama survives the passage of the body. The neshama is not connected to the body absolutely. By an animal, you say that when the body of the animal dies, the soul of the animal dies, because the soul is a servant of the body. But by people, when the body is no longer, the neshama still is. But because there's no guf, the neshama is a step up. And you should know, they never used to tell this. It should never happen to anybody. When people lost spouses or relatives, when they had little children. So they never used to say, explain to the children that your mother is still alive, your father is still alive. We learned the sikha about this last year, I think. But she's in a higher place. And she's looking down upon you, and your happiness is her happiness. And so on. So the Rebbe says to Rabbi Yechanan Gordon and his mishpacha that was sitting shiva for the loss of his wife and their mother, that when the way we look at death is not that we lost touch with somebody. They're simply on the floor above. The Yaseidim is there. Moreover, Omer Chazal says in the Gemara, Mazare b'chai, mafu b'chai. That if the children live, the parents also live. So there's two points here. Point number one is that they're living in a higher world. And point number two is they're still living in this world through their children. And of course, Mazare b'chayim, afu b'chayim means that the children are going in the ways of the parents. I remember Shloishim of Gimel Tammuz, Tovshim Nun Dalet, which is 23 years ago. So Shloishim of Gimel Tammuz was Gimel Menachemov. So they had, of course, an event in 770, and Rabbi Leibel Gronos of Agizun spoke, Leibel Gronos spoke. And he told the following story, and it's also in the Sichist, that in 1954, this is 3 years before this, there was a yid by the name of Rabbi Shia Hecht who passed away. Rabbi Shia Hecht was the father of the Hechts, the six Hecht brothers, right? There was Zalman, and there was Moshe, and there was Avraham, and there was Yankel, and there was Peretz, and there is Sholem, six brothers. And the Friede Rebbe called him a Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. So J.J. Hecht, the Ankel Hecht, used to say sarcastically, Ich bin Nezikin. Like Mechesbin, he's the fourth brother, he's Nezikin. Anyway, Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, they were the Rebbe's generals, the Hecht brothers. Their father, Rebbe Shia, passed away very young. He was in his 40s. He was on Abad, he was a clean shaven Yid, but he was such a special Yid. He was so Durch Getribben, he was Jew through and through. He was a very Chassidish Yid. And in the America of those days, he was like a stalwart. He was like a rock. He was like a strong tree that you could lean against. I heard from people, he was really very special, Rebbe Shia. And he died young. And parenthetically, I'll tell you, Nochamaisa, it's always good to tell stories, that this Rebbe Shia had, it's a story that goes back to his grandfather. The Friedrich Rebbe gave them a bracha that all of their descendants would be his chassidim. It's a story, not for now. The Rebbe Shia Hecht, his oldest son was a shliach, his second son was a shliach, his third son was a shliach. So when Yankel Hecht got married, he came to the Rebbe and he said to the Rebbe, I need him in the business. I gave you my first three. I need him in the business. He was a manufacturer of slacks. He made clothing. So the Rebbe's answer to him was, Ich darf er mehr wie du darfst. I need him more than you do. And that's the way it stayed. He passed away very young, 1954. He was survived by his wife for more than two decades. She had a riches yom. And the Rebbe came to Menachemo. So this is the story Leibel Groner told. And the Rebbe came in, and he sat with the boys, with the younger light. I mean, they were boys. They were all married with children, but they were young. And before he left, he went into the Rebbe, to his wife, and I don't think there were any daughter. I think she was sitting by herself. Maybe she was a brother or a sister. And the Rebbe walked in, and she was very broken. So the Rebbe sat there. He spoke to her in Yiddish, of course. The Rebbe said to her, "I see that you're very upset. You're very upset. You're very hurt. You're very broken." So the Rebbe said to her, "Doesn't even matter that mazare b'chayim afu b'chayim." That if the children go in the ways of the parents, in the children the parent lives. I'm talking about a generation where the average child was in a different universe than his parent. I mean, what they call the generation gap was extraordinary. The children, I mean, the children were not changing Shabbos. And the Rebbe says to her, look at all of your children. They're all going in the ways that your husband would be proud. And consequently, through them, your husband lived. This is what the Rebbe told here then. And this is the same idea that Rebbe says. That first of all, we believe if someone passes away, they're not God. They're just a level higher. The goof is missing. But the neshama is still present. And as the Rebbe kochs always, the neshama is present in this world. The Rebbe never had issues with neshamas leaving. After our deceased ancestors passed, they're still very much here. And on certain occasions, like by achasana, they participate and so on. And then the second point is, in addition to the idea that any time a person passes away, they're here on a higher floor. If the children live as the parents wanted them to live, through the children, the parents are living here also. Says the Rebbe, consequently, the change is only on the outside. On the inside, there's no change whatsoever. But like it says in Tanya, that when you hug a person, what are you hugging? You're not hugging their body. Why? Because it doesn't matter if they're wearing one shirt or 15 shirts. You're hugging the person. The person is the neshama. When it comes to fearing another human being, you're not afraid of his goof. The ikir fear is mipimi yusev v'chayusev v'leimi goof. You're afraid of his neshama. Sharei, goof is, kishe yoshan, ein shum yirem. When you sleep, you're not afraid of him. Look at a goof, you don't see nisham. Yet when a person is awake, you treat him one way. When a person is asleep, you treat him a different way. Because the ikir is the neshama and not the goof. And again, it says also in Tanya that when you hug somebody, you're hugging the neshama, you're not hugging the goof. Ma'achash goof ha'malach b'teich. Moving on by the dam, which explains it in this case as well. She'ikir hu sheba pnimiya sein shina, the most important things on the inside, there is no change. For Ka'amar, of course, the key point is, Inyan zeh toli b'kach. This is dependent upon the idea shezare b'chayim, that the children live. In other words, shehelchem aderech hayashen, go the straight way, the ways of their parents. By days again, mem nachas ruach, they cause a nachas ruach to their parents and so on. And the Rebbe finishes with a bracha, tiskul erev nachas mehayaladim, you should have much nachas from your children. Le'edech yad v'shamzeis, many years. And he lived another 13, he passed away in 1970, I believe, Rebbe Yechanan. He lived much, many, many years. He survived his wife for many, many years. They gave him bracha for Arichas Yomim. Mrs. Pekarsky at Medetel, she used to come and sit in these classes. She told me that they came to America pretty early. I mean, you know how it was, when people came out of Russia, they were in DP camps. And if you were in a DP camp, you needed to get into a country. Yeah. In order to get into a country, you needed some kind of sponsorship. There was all kinds of laws of immigration and quotas and sponsorships. So, you know, many of us, my father, for example, came here on a sponsorship. They were sent to Philadelphia, so the community in Philadelphia sponsored them as immigrants. But you couldn't just stam azayka. So it took years for people to get sponsorships. But there were people who got sponsorships very early because they had connections in America. The Pekarskis were here by 1947. You know, my father came in 1953. You probably also came in 53, yeah? When did you come? Till when? 56, even later. But the Pekarskis got here in 47. They had a connection. Somebody sponsored them. So they were the first people to come. They lived in Crown Heights, and then Gornish got, he was a sheikhet. But they had nothing. They were incredibly, incredibly impoverished. So she pushed it, went and asked people for money. She was that kind of a lady. You had to do what you did. She went and asked for help. She came to this Zisha Gordon, who the Sikh is about, and she passed away. And they lived across the street, and she asked for a nedava. He gave her a nedava. And after she gave her the nedava, she said to her, "Thank you for coming and asking. Thank you for," in other words, "I wouldn't have known. Thank you for asking." This was the kind of person that she was. Okay, so I will see you with Shem on Thursday.